Bible teaches that we're to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in our hearts unto the Lord, Colossians 3, and singing and making melody in our hearts, Ephesians 5 and verse 19. And as we have just sung, and you have admonished me to give you the Bible, that's what I intend to do. The Bible, of course, is the Word of God. A lot of people do not believe that, but you and I believe that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that this book that I hold in my hand is a revelation of the mind of God Almighty. And it's wonderful that we have this revelation. It is the truth that will make us free, John 8, verse 32. It is the sword of the Spirit that will prick our hearts as it did on the day of Pentecost, and about 3,000 souls glad to receive the word and were baptized. Of course, no one can refuse to be baptized and receive the word of Christ. After all, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And so we're happy that you're here tonight, and I intend to do just exactly what you ask in the song, to give you the Word of God. The Bible teaches in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, lightly dividing the Word of truth. And so if I give you the Bible tonight, it is important that we rightly divide it, that we teach it just like it is. And, of course, we want to ask the question, do you really want the Bible? That might sound like a strange question, but there are a lot of people in the world who do not want the Bible. There are religious people that do not want all of the Bible. There are even members of the Lord's church that do not want all of the truth. But Jesus said in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In 1 Peter 1, verse 22, the Apostle Peter said, "Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." So tonight, I raise the question, do you really want the Bible? And I believe, of course, that you do. But do you want the Bible when it condemns you for your sin? And you know the Scriptures does condemn us for our sin. And it's human nature not to like to be condemned. But if we love God and we want to go to heaven, we'll want the Scriptures to condemn us of our sins to the extent that we'll repent of our sins and that we'll order our life according to the Scriptures. And so we need to want the Bible even when it condemns our sin. And we should want the Bible when it condemns even our parents. You know, sometimes folks don't mind preaching the truth if it condemns the neighbor. But they don't want you to preach the truth if it condemns their parents. Now, we don't like to condemn our parents. And my mom and dad have been gone now for several years. Mom died in 1985 when she was 90 years old. And Dad died in 1998 when he was 98 years old. But they're gone on. I'm thankful that there were times when they were sitting in the audience where I preached. And that I was able to preach even the gospel of Christ to them. And I'm thankful that I've been blessed to preach the gospel to all of my brothers and sisters at time, one time or another. And certainly my wife and I have 7 children, and it's a pleasure to be able to preach to them. And the oldest one's here tonight, and I can preach to him again. Well, we need to preach the Bible no matter who it condemns. You know, it condemns the devil more than anyone else. The old Satan, and he certainly needs to be condemned. He is our enemy. In fact, he's the enemy of all righteousness. There's not a passage of Scripture that makes up the righteousness of God, and all thy commandments are righteousness that the devil loves. He hates it all. He hates all the truth. And he doesn't want us to believe the truth. He doesn't want us to obey the truth. But we ought to preach it when he condemns him. And we ought to preach it when he condemns our parents. And we ought to preach it when he condemns our children. You know, there are some parents that just don't like to condemn their children. But you're setting them up for a lifetime of trouble if you don't do it. The Bible teaches that we need to correct our children. We need to use the rod. He that spares the rod spoils the son or the child. And we need to teach them the Word of God. I can remember to this day the times when my mother sat down with me and taught me passages of God's Holy Word. It meant so much to me coming from her. And I can remember when my parents obeyed the gospel. I can remember a time when they did not assemble to worship God, when they were not Christians. But I thank the Lord that they did obey the gospel and that they influenced me and have encouraged me through the years to do what was right and to preach the truth. We need to preach the truth when he condemns our parents. We need to preach the truth when he condemns our children. And we need the Bible when it condemns the kind of recreation that we might be involved in. Now, it might not condemn the kind of recreation. It might condemn the kind of apparel that people wear when they're engaged in that kind of recreation. But we need to teach the truth. We need to allow the Word of God to condemn them. We need to give people the Bible when it has reference to our relationships in life and the way we conduct ourselves, even in the recreation that we're involved in. Do you really want the Bible if it condemns your marriage? You know, the Word of God condemns a lot of folks' marriage. The Word of God condemned the marriage of Herod. Remember, John the Baptist came to Herod and said, "It's not lawful if you have your brother Philip's wife." It wasn't lawful then to have your brother's wife or your father's wife, as the case in 1 Corinthians. And it's not lawful today to have anyone's wife except your own wife. And some folks won't the Bible until you talk about that. And then they don't want the Word of God. They don't want to hear what God has to say about marriage because their marriage is not right in the sight of God. So do you want the Bible? Do you want me to give you the Bible when it concerns marriage? Do you want me to give you the Bible when you're lying a corpse? When you're dead in your custody, do you want the Bible preached? Well, you know, there are some folks when they're dead in their casket wouldn't want to hear some things the Bible teaches. But when we all stand before Jesus in the judgment day, the books will be open. And when the books are open, every book in the Bible will be open and applied appropriately and correctly. And every passage of Scripture will be open. When we stand before Jesus Christ in judgment, we're going to be judged by the Word of God. And if we lived under the law of Moses, that's the law that will judge us. And now that we live in this age, we'll be judged by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the last will and testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we ought to walk the truth all the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So do you want me to give you the Bible tonight? Well, whether you want it to or not, and that's what's coming. And that's what you can expect. Well, just how much do you want the Bible? A lot of times folks think they want the Bible, but they don't want it very much. How much do you want it? Do you want the Bible as much as you ought to? Will we accept it even if it's different from what we believe? Do we want the Bible even if we find out it's different from what we've been taught? Do we want the Bible if we find out it's different from what we have practiced? Do you really want the truth? And hopefully, that's what we want. Will you accept it? Even if it's different from how you feel about things? Will you accept the Bible even if it's different from what you've been taught? Even if it's different from what you have believed, and you find out that it's different, do you still want the Bible? Or do you want to hold on to what you believe, even if it's wrong? There are lots of people that want to hold on to what they believe, even if it's wrong. They don't want you to give them the Bible. Oh, they'll take parts of it. You know, an atheist will take parts of it. And the wicked people will take parts of it. But the question is, do we really want it? Will you accept it if it condemns the experience you thought you had? You know, there's some folks who think they're saved because they had a certain kind of experience. Something strange happened to them. Well, if you take the Bible and you find out that that's not the way it happens and that's not the way a fellow's saved, do you still want the Bible and give up on your experience? Are you willing to turn your back on your experience for the truth of God's almighty word? There are some folks that want their experience more than the Bible. Oh, I know I'm saved, somebody said. How do you know you're saved? Well, I've got this feeling right down deep in my soul. You know, people who believe lies have a feeling down deep in their soul. But the feeling we need down deep in our soul is the feeling we have when we learn the truth and obey the truth. And that's the feeling that we ought to be concerned about. Will you accept the Bible if you find out that it condemns what you've always believed on some subject or on any subject for that matter? And you suddenly find out that you've been wrong all these years, that you believed the wrong thing, and some truth is pointed out to you that you've never seen before. Will you accept it? Do you really want the truth, or do you want to hold on to what you believe? I've heard people say, I'd rather have this is a whole stack of Bibles. Wonder what God thinks about a statement like that. You don't have to guess, do you? You know God doesn't approve of a statement like that. The revelation of God is sealed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And if you prefer your feeling over the revelation of God that's sealed and dedicated with the blood of Jesus Christ, it's an insult to God. Do we really want the Bible? Do we want the Bible on every subject, no matter what we believed in the past? Do we want the truth? And do we say, give me the Bible, no matter what it costs? Give me the Bible, no matter what it is. Now let's look at some reasons for wanting the Bible. Some reasons why you ought to want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Number one reason why we ought to want the Bible is it is from God. It is His God-breathed word. That's what inspiration means. You know, I'm talking tonight because I am breathing. I'm breathing out words If I were not breathing out words, I could not be talking. Ever get your breath knocked out? You can't talk very well, can you? Because there's nothing you're breathing out. And that's what inspiration means. This book is what God breathed out. Everything I'm saying tonight is what I'm breathing out. Hopefully what I'm saying is not just what I'm breathing out, but what God Almighty breathed out. That's what revelation is. Is it from God? Is it His Word? That ought to be our only concern. In the second place, look in John 12 and verse 49. Jesus said, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Now if Jehovah gave Jesus the commandment that He ought to say and He ought to speak, and if He gave to the apostles the things that they ought to say and what they ought to teach, then who am I to teach something different? And if I teach something different, it might be what God breathed out. If I teach what the apostles taught, I'm preaching and teaching what God breathed out. And that's what's inspired. That's what inspiration means. God breathed. And you speak as you breathe. Your words are what you breathe out. And God's word is what He breathed out. And that's what's going to save us. Is that what we want? And that's what we ought to want. And that's what I intend to give you. We ought to want the Bible because that's how we get our faith. And the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that which God breathed out produces our faith. And without faith it's impossible to please God. So without that which God breathed out and our breathing it in, our accepting it, then we couldn't have God. So we ought to be interested in that which God breathed out. And that's what His faith, the Word of God, is. We ought to want the Bible because it's living and powerful. I've heard folks preach that it's a dead letter. No, the Word of God is not dead. Now, there is one sense in which the law of Moses is, because it's been abolished. It's been nailed to the cross. But we became dead to the law. We're the ones that died. It's a part of God's revelation. And the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, as this passage says. The Word of God is quick, that means living, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, pretty hard to divide between the two, isn't it? Your soul and your spirit. The Word of God, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, that's the reason why we ought to want the Bible. Another reason why we ought to want the Bible, because the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You can drive up through the mountains of southwestern Virginia and admire all the beauty, and we admired it the 13 years we lived here down in Big Stone Gap. It's a beautiful place. And when October comes and all the different shades and colors on the trees, why, it's just beautiful and wonderful. But you know who made it all? God in heaven, who gave us this book, made it all. And this is a beautiful book. A beautiful Word of God. And it's by His Word that the worlds were framed, Hebrews 11 and 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Well, He just said, let there be light. There was. He just said, let this happen and that happen, and it did. And he just said, let us make man, and it happened. God has the power. The world framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. And all these atheists need to look at that one. And all the skeptics and the modernists, they need to look at that one. Somebody come along and talk about the age of the earth, all the millions and billions of years, you know. And of course, they've got to say that because it wouldn't be long enough for it all to have happened by chance like they say it did. You couldn't get enough time for all that to happen. There's only one explanation for existence, and that there's a God. There's no other explanation. You'd be a fool to think there is. No wonder the Bible said the fool has said in his heart there is no God. This is reasons to believe the warnings in the scriptures and for warning the scriptures. The word of God makes us alive. That is, quickens us. We ought to want it because of that. Psalm 119 in verse 50. The psalmist said, this is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath made me alive. Thy word hath quickened me. And Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. The word of Christ quickened Lazarus. And when that last day comes, God's word will quicken all of us. All the dead will be raised. The wicked dead too. The righteous dead. All that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Doesn't make any difference how many billions there are. And they'll all hear his voice and come forth. The power of God's word to make us alive. Ephesians 2 and 1, you have he quickened, that is, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So not only will God's word make us alive when we die physically, God's word makes us alive when we die spiritually. Dead in trespasses and sins. The word of God, the only thing that will make us alive, make us live again. And so the word of God quickens us, makes us alive. Another reason for wanting the Bible is that the word of God begets us. We're born again by the incorruptible seed, the word of God. James 1 verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. God begat us with this incorruptible seed, the word of truth. That's why we ought to want the Bible. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth. And so we ought to want the Bible, because it's living, it abides, it's incorruptible, it will bring us out of sin into Christ, it will bring us out of this world into heaven. And those are reasons why we ought to want the Bible. It will free us. John 8:32, ye shall know the truth. And this is the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Denominational doctrine makes folks in bondage. It never freed anybody. Never will free anybody. We ought to want the Bible because it will save us. In James 1:21, receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save our souls. And so are your souls. In James 1 and verse 21, the Bible says that the gospel is the power to save. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Reasons for wanting the Bible is because the word of God sanctifies us. That means sets us apart from sin, sets us apart from the devil. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It's all the truth. It's the whole truth. It's nothing but the truth. And we ought to want the truth. We ought to want the Word, the Bible, because that's what purifies us, and the only thing that will. As the Bible said in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, see, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. We ought to want the Bible because the Bible gives light and understanding to us. We like to understand things, don't we? Like to see things. You can't see much in the dark, can you? You can't see anything unless you turn on the light. This is a dark, sinful world. People are groping around in darkness. Why are they groping around in darkness? They refuse to turn on the light. And right here it is. And you open it up and you turn it on. And you read its pages, it's turned on. The Word gives light and understanding. Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I think it's interesting that that passage reads that way. You know, it doesn't give much understanding to professed fools. Now, who are they? Folks who say there's no God. And he's a fool. And his understanding's pretty dark. But the Word of God gives us understanding even to simple people. We ought to want the Bible because it's possible for us to live by the Word. And we can live by it in the sense that we keep it, we can keep it. And we can live by it because as a result of it, we live. In Luke 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every other word of God. And I put a word in there, didn't I? And it didn't say every other word. It didn't even say 99% of the words. It says by every word of God. Man lives by every word of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We ought to want the Bible because it builds us up and gives us an inheritance. As Acts 20 and verse 32 said, now brethren, while talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and it's able to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Is there anything else like that? The word of God sets apart from everything else. There's nothing else like it. No human being can produce anything near like it. How wonderful the Bible is. We ought to want it. Another reason why we ought to want the Word of God, because it'll stand forever. The Bible will stand when the world's on fire. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Yet the time is coming. When this old earth won't be here, it's going to melt. It's going to pass the heavens up there. They're not going to be there. And they're going to pass away with a great noise. And I've often thought about and wondered about that noise. Will it be great from the standpoint of volume? I don't know. Would it be great from the standpoint of it being so unusual? Well, it'll be unusual. It never has happened before. But there's going to be a great noise. The heaven and earth will pass away with a great noise. And the elements are going to melt with forever heat. We ought to want the Bible because it'll judge us in that last day. John 12:48, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day. The judgment day is the last day. And the Bible is going to judge us. Do you know what? The Book of Mormon won't be open at the judgment day. There's not a single soul will be judged by the Book of Mormon. All of that effort old Joe Smith made, and look at the pearl of great price. It won't be open either. And I'll tell you something else. The Baptist manual won't be open either. And the Methodist discipline won't be. The only books that will be open are the 66 books of the Bible. And the 27 books in the New Testament, what's going to judge you and I? Yes, it'll judge us in that last day. Revelation 20, the Bible said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Now, that doesn't include the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, and it doesn't include the Baptist manual and the Methodist discipline. It's God's books that'll be open. The books will be open. And the dead, there'll be another book open. This other book that's going to be open at the judgment day is the Book of Life. And the dead are going to be judged out of those things which are written in the books. And they're going to be judged according to their works. And the question is, are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? If you're not, you have opportunity to get ready. Now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. You wait until the Lord comes back, it'll be too late then. But it's not too late now. So if you're in any way subject to the invitation of Christ, we encourage you to come and take a seat at the front. All together we stand and sing.